Otherwise, we are going to turn back to our final message on finances, on possessions. And so I hope that in all of this, God has been speaking to us and encouraging what we've been doing well, and also maybe challenging some of our thoughts on finances. And so today we want to talk about the tithe. If I was going to, as you see in the bulletin, I'd kind of have this generic message of what about the tithe. If I was going to maybe give you a new title, I would call it maybe the sacred portion. And that's from Deuteronomy chapter 26. But before I read the scriptures, I just came across a couple short little humorous items I would just like to share with you. The first one is about two men. They were marooned on an island, and one man is pacing back and forth, worried and scared, while the other man sits back and is just sunning himself. So the first man says to the second one, "Aren't you afraid that we're about to die?" "No," said the second man, "I make $100,000 a week, and I tithe faithfully to my church every week. My pastor will find me." And the second one was an apologetic church member comes to a pastor, and he says, "I just don't see how I can give as much as a tenth, pastor. Would it be all right if I just give a fourth?" And so maybe if you can't afford to give a tenth, maybe you want to consider giving the fourth and see how that works for you. So I had put in the bulletin that we were going to read Malachi chapter 3, but I've changed my mind on that one. I'd like to read Deuteronomy chapter 26. And Deuteronomy 26 is kind of gives us a little bit of a liturgy, if I could use that word, for how the tithes were brought in the Old Testament. And to me, it's just, there's a lot of interesting picture that happens in Deuteronomy 26. So I'd like to start off there by reading that and then just kind of following through a little bit on and how the Israelite people, when they brought their tithes to the temple, what that looked like and what some of the liturgy was around that. So Deuteronomy chapter 26, I think it will come on the screen. "Then it shall be, when you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance, and you possess it and live in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground which you bring in from your land that the Lord your God gives you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to establish his name. You shall go to the priest who is in the office at that time and say to him, 'I declare this day to the Lord my God that I have entered the land which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us.' Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. You shall answer and say before the Lord your God, 'My father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down to Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, but there he became a great and mighty and populous nation. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us and imposed hard labor on us. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction and our toil and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and with great terror and with signs and wonders. And he has brought us to this place and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now behold, I have brought the first of the produce of the ground which you, O Lord, have given me, and you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And you and the Levite and the alien who is among you shall rejoice in all the good which the Lord your God has given you and your household. When you have finished paying all the tithe of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing, then you shall give it to the Levite, to the stranger, to the orphan, and to the widow, and when they that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. You shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the sacred portion from my house, and also have given it to the Levite and the alien, the orphan and the widow, according to all your commandments which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed or forgotten any of your commandments. I have not eaten of it while mourning, nor have I removed any of it while I was unclean, nor offered any of it to the dead. I have listened to the voice of the Lord my God. I have done according to all that you have commanded me. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people Israel and the ground which you have given us, a land flowing with milk and honey, as you swore to our fathers. This day the Lord your God commands you to do these statutes and ordinances. You shall therefore be careful to do them with all your heart and with all your soul. You have today declared the Lord to be your God, and that you would walk in his ways and keep his statutes, his commandments, and his ordinances, and listen to his voice. The Lord has today declared you to be his people, a treasured possession, as he promised you, and you should keep all his commandments, and that he will set you high above all nations which he has made for praise, for fame and honor, that you shall be a consecrated people to the Lord your God, as he has spoken. So a little bit about how this was supposed to happen. As the people came into the promised land, and they had cultivated for the year, and they had brought all their first fruits, the first tenth of their harvest, and all their increase was to be put in a basket, and they were to come to the temple. They were to come before the temple, the altar of God, and come to the priest who was in office in that time. And the person was supposed to confess some things and say, God, you have brought me to this land. You have brought me these things. You have given me these things. I'm bringing them as an offering to you. And then they were to recount what God had done in Egypt, that they had been taken to Egypt, and there they had been oppressed, and God had delivered them out of Egypt, and he had taken them not out of Egypt, but also into the land of promise. And so with that, God had heard their prayer when they had asked for deliverance when they were oppressed in Egypt. So they were to confess that God had heard their prayer, brought them to this land, and now they were bringing their offering with joy. And it's just interesting to me that the note of joy that's supposed to be here. Verse 11 says, you and the Levite and the alien who is among you, you shall rejoice in all the good which the Lord your God has given you. And then in verse, looking at the other one, it talks about offering it with joy to the Lord. And so the whole idea of bringing our offerings to God with joy, God loves a cheerful giver, I think has its roots in Deuteronomy chapter 26. And so there was to be this note of joy that came as they were bringing their offerings. But then notice with that, they're supposed to also declare something. They're supposed to declare God is their God, that God is the one has given to all given them all these good things. And then out of that, it says in verse 17, you have today declared the Lord to be your God, and that you would walk in his ways and his statutes and his commandments and his ordinance and listen to his voice. So with the giving of the offering, they're saying, I've listened to the voice of God. I'm understanding that he's my God, and I'm understanding that he has given me commands, and with those, I'm embracing those commands. And then out of that, God says, okay, now I am your God. And then notice what God says in verse 18, the Lord has today declared you to be his people, a treasured possession, as he promised you, that you should keep all his commandments. And then he gives them the blessing that they would be a nation of fame and honor, and they would be a consecrated people to the Lord. The verse I want to just pull out of there is in verse 13. And one of the things they're to say when they're standing before God, it says, you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the sacred portion from my house. I have removed the sacred portion from my house, and I have given it to the Levite, to the alien, the orphan, the widow, according to all your commandments. And it goes on from there. So today we want to talk about the sacred portion. What is the sacred portion? In my mind, the sacred portion is the tithe. I know that people would, some may argue with me, and that's okay if you argue with me about it, but some would argue about the tithe being an Old Testament concept. It's not a New Testament concept, and that in some ways is true. Jesus did talk about the tithe in the New Testament, just in referring it very briefly, and said to the Pharisees, you should have done all of these things, tithing all the stuff they were doing, but they should not have forgotten the big things of mercy and justice and those kinds of things. But I would want to say that if you use the New Testament as an excuse for not tithing, I think you're on very shaky ground. First of all, when Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, he would always come to, you have heard, it's something, and then he quote Old Testament, but I say unto you, and it was always a greater picture. It was always a deeper consecration. It was always a bigger commitment than what the Old Testament had said. And also, when you look at the teachings of Jesus around finances, he would go and say things like, you cannot be my disciple unless you sell all that you have and follow me. So there's the discipleship process. So with this whole teaching on tithing, I want to give a bit of a disclaimer. I believe in tithing. I believe tithing is the ground floor of giving, but we should maybe grow from there. And where my disclaimer with tithing is that I think sometimes tithing short circuits true discipleship. That there are people that God is calling to greater discipleship, and tithing is minimum. That's how I would see it. And so with that, I just want to say that about tithing, but let me just lay a bit of a scriptural foundation for tithing. To me, tithing is not just an Old Testament concept. Tithing is a faith in God concept. And the reason I say that is the first indication or the first mention we have of tithing, the word for those of you that maybe don't know, tithing simply means one-tenth. To give a tithe is to give one-tenth. And so tithing, the first indication or first thing we have in Scripture about tithing is Abraham. Abraham had had a nephew Lot who had been taken captive by a whole bunch of kings. He was living in Sodom and Gomorrah, and there were some kings that had issues with the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah, came and basically took all the people captive and took all the stuff. And Abraham probably wouldn't have cared much except that his nephew Lot and his family was taken up in this whole sweep. And so Abraham goes and he gets his trained people from his house, 318 people, and he goes after these kings and he rescues his nephew Lot and his family, and he brings back everything else, all the stuff that was stolen. And on his way back, he meets a man, a priest by the name of Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek is the king of Salem, the king of Jerusalem, and Hebrews chapter 7 says his name means king of righteousness and king of peace. And Melchizedek is a foreshadowing of Jesus. And so Melchizedek, who's a priest at Salem, comes and meets Abraham, and he blesses Abraham. Now again, it's the greater person that blesses the smaller person. So Abraham is being blessed by Melchizedek, and in his worship of God, the Most High God, in that situation, Abraham gives to Melchizedek one-tenth of everything that's there. And so what is Abraham doing when he's doing that? Abraham is saying, God has given me the victory. The Most High God has given me the victory and has secured all these blessings for me, and one-tenth of it is going to go to God as an offering to him. So this had nothing to do with law. It predates law. This is Abraham walking by faith, and he meets the picture of Jesus in the Old Testament, Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God, and he brings his offering to the priest. And so with that, we have the beginning of the tithe as a person who trusts God and believes God and acknowledges God has given him given him the victory and provided this for him. So that's kind of the first indicator we have that that there's a tithe. We are called in Hebrews, sorry, not in Hebrews, it's in Hebrews 7 it talks about this, but in Romans 4, we are called as Christians to walk in the steps of faith of our father Abraham. So one of the steps of faith of our father Abraham is to acknowledge God in worship and bring the tithe, one-tenth of whatever he has provided for us. So Abraham is the father who believes, father of those who believe, and we are called to walk in the steps of the faith of our father. The second time that we read about the tithe is in Genesis 28. This also predates law, just to make sure. This is Jacob's encounter with God. Jacob is running from his brother Esau, And when he's running from his brother Esau, he gets to a place named Bethel, and he falls asleep. He puts he has this rock under his head for a pillow, and while he's there sleeping, he has this dream, and God visits him in this dream and says, Jacob, the land that you're lying on, I'm going to give it to you and to your descendants. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bring you back to this land. He gives him all sorts of promises. And Jacob is moved by this powerful experience, and he says, this God is going to be my God. I am embracing him. If he's going to lead me, he's going to provide for me, he's going to take care of me, and he's going to bring me into this land and ultimately give me this land, he will be my God. And he says, then I will surely give one-tenth to him. The lesson I would take from that is, when you encounter God, and you recognize a God who said he will be your God and he will take care of everything for your life. He will guide you. He will lead you. He will take care of it. I think the heart response needs to be the same as Jacob's. I will surely give one-tenth to him. He will take care of me. And so we see Abraham, we see Jacob, both of them encountering God in some way, and their response to God is a tithe. This is predating law. There is no Old Testament law at this point. This is only two men that encounter God, that are walking by faith in God, that are doing this, that are giving this thing. So with that, we turn to the law, to Moses, who is the lawgiver. And we have numerous scriptures that I just want to give you a few of them that deal with the whole issue of tithing. So in Numbers chapter 18, verses 21 to 26, the tithe was given for the caring of the tribe of Levi. Now, as the people of God came into the land of promise, the land was divided by tribes, and each tribe was given an allotment, a portion, but the tribe of Levi was not given any land. The tribe of Levi were called to assist Aaron and the priesthood in taking care of the temple stuff. And so the sacrifices and all the stuff that related to the temple. And so with that, God had to have a way for the Levites to be cared for. And so in Numbers chapter 18, verse 21, it says, to the sons of Levi, behold, I have given all the tithe in Israel for an inheritance in return for their service, which they perform the service of the tent of meeting. And then in verse 24 of Numbers 18, it says, for the tithe of the sons of Israel, which they offer as an offering to the Lord, I have given to the Levites for an inheritance. Therefore, I have said concerning them, they shall have no inheritance among the sons of Israel. So the Levites were not given land, but they were given the tithe. They were given that one-tenth portion that the rest of the tribes were to bring, and that was going to be their inheritance. That was going to be their portion. That was how they were going to earn a living. But then it says in verse 26, God speaking to the Levites, he says, when you take from the sons of Israel the tithe, which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then you shall present an offering from it to the Lord, a tithe of the tithe. So he says to the tribe of Levi, these people are going to be bringing the tithes into the storehouse of God, but when you receive those tithes, you also have to be giving. So you also need to take a tithe of the tithe. You've received the tithes, now you take a tenth of that and you give that back to God. And so even the Levites that were receiving the tithes were also to be giving the tithes as well. So that's and the whole purpose of the tithe was the caring of the temple worship and the ministry, and that the people that were in charge of the temple worship were taken care of. So that's Numbers 18, 21 to 26. Secondly, Deuteronomy 14, 22 to 29. The tithe is about learning to fear God. And in all of this, we are to acknowledge God, and tithing is very much about worship. The Deuteronomy 26, the worship was revolving around the bringing of the offering that was to be was brought. So Deuteronomy, I'll read chapter 14, I'll read verses 22 and 23. It says, you shall surely tithe all the produce that from what you sow, which comes out of the field every year. You shall eat it in the presence of the Lord your God at the place where he chooses to establish his name, the tithe of the grain, your new wine, your oil, and the firstborn of your herd and your flock, so that you may learn to fear the Lord your God only. So again, the tithe was an acknowledgement of God's provision, but it was an acknowledgement that God deserved the worship, that God deserved to be reverenced. And so he says, you're learning to, by doing this, you're learning to fear God. You're learning to fear the living God. Thirdly, Deuteronomy 26, the tithe was central in the worship of God. And I read the passage, verses 12 to 15, kind of the ritual, the liturgy of bringing that tithe. And it was like, it was acknowledged, God, you've given this. I'm acknowledging this is your voice. This is your commands. And I'm embracing you as my God. So, I won't say much more about that. But then I would just like to say in closing, about the Moses and the whole issue of tithing. Tithing is the sacred portion. In Leviticus 27, verses 30 to 33, and I'll just read verse 30, it says, "Thus all the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord." He says the tithe is holy to the Lord. It is the sacred portion. So remember, going back to chapter 26, verse 13 of Deuteronomy, he says, you're, one of the confessions you're supposed to make when you give your offering, and you can do that silently if you want, but basically what you are saying by putting the tithe into the offering is you're saying that I have removed the sacred portion, that which belongs to God, I have removed it from my house, and I have given it to God. And so that is, the tithe is the sacred portion. That's the portion that belongs to God. And so we'll look at that in a few minutes about Malachi 3. And Malachi is rebuking the people and said, you're robbing God. How are we robbing God? By not bringing the whole tithe into the storehouse. So that's what Moses said about it. The purpose of the tithe was to take care of the sons of Levi and the people of God. So in 2 Chronicles 31 verse 4 says that the Levites might devote themselves to the law of the Lord. Then there's other mentions of tithing in the Old Testament. Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles 29 to chapter 29 to 31. Under Asa, the temple was basically desecrated, and Hezekiah is installed as king. And the first thing he does is he starts to reform a whole bunch of stuff. He cleans out the temple. He restores. He finds the priests and the Levites and consecrates them again and restores the whole temple worship. But then in 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verses 4 to 21, he restores the practice of tithing again. So now he says, okay, we've neglected this for all these years, and now we need to restore this again. And let me just read verses 4 to 6 of 2 Chronicles 31. He, being Hezekiah, commanded the people who lived in Jerusalem to give the portion due to the priests and the Levites, that they might devote themselves to the law of the Lord. And as soon as the order spread, the sons of Israel provided in abundance the first fruits of grain, of new wine, oil, honey, and of all the produce of the field, and they brought in abundantly the tithe of all. And it goes on in that chapter to talk about the abundance that came as God's people brought the tithe in, that they had neglected to do under Asa and previous kings. So that was the reforms of Hezekiah. Then we have in the reforms of Nehemiah, in Nehemiah 10 and Nehemiah 13. I won't read those passages, but again, they are rebuilding the wall, they're rebuilding Jerusalem, the temple's been rebuilt, they're restoring the worship of the temple. And with all of the restoration that happens, the thing that they do is they restore the tithe, that the people of God, again, bring their tithes into the storehouse of God. Then we have the passage in Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 12. I think if there's probably no more familiar passage on tithing in Malachi. And Malachi is a contemporary of Nehemiah and Ezra, and writing in the times of rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple and the walls. And with all of that, he's looking for worship that's going to honor God. And so he's talking about returning to God. Let me just read Malachi 3, verses 7 and following. It says, "From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? So we would say, how do we return to God? And this is one of the ways that we return to God. In verse 8, he says, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you in tithes and offerings? You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that I will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. So Malachi calls them to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. So he gives us, I think, a couple reasons for tithing. He says, tithing opens the windows of heaven. He says, bring the whole tithe. Now, I just want to maybe say something. Randy Alcorn has made an interesting observation about this. He says, you're robbing God. You're not bringing the whole tithe into the storehouse. And so he gives a bit of a humorous example. He says, but if I was a thief and I robbed convenience stores, and I kind of robbed 10 convenience stores a month, but you know, I'm kind of looking at reforming it, and I'm thinking, you know what, I'm going to only go to 5. I'm just going to do 5 a month. It still doesn't really change the issue, right? And so that was the issue. God was saying, bring the whole tithe. And sometimes we think, well, you know, what if I just brought 5%? You know, or what if I just brought, you know, 3 or 4? That's all I can really afford. God just says, bring the tithe. Bring the whole tithe into my storehouse. And so he says, other than that, he says, that's robbing God. Now, we may struggle with that, but I think there's some things in this passage that should encourage us and move us towards tithing. First of all, he says, tithing opens the windows of heaven. He says, bring the whole tithe, and that there may be food in my house. And then he says, test me now in this, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven, pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. And so this is an area, this is the only time I find in Scripture that God says you can test him. You can test God in this. And I would encourage those of you that this tithing is a huge stretch. God says, test me. Try this out. See what I'm going to do. See what God's going to do with this when you take that step of faith and test him with tithing. And so he says, see if I'm not going to open the windows of heaven. Now, how God will open the windows of heaven for you, I don't know. Whether that's a better job, whether that's an idea, an opportunity, a business you can start, I don't know what the windows of heaven opening for you might look like. But God says, you can test me. You can see if I'm going to be faithful. When you do this, when you step out in faith and do this, see what will happen. And anybody that has been tithing, I think probably would have stories of different ways God seems to have just blessed in ways and opened the windows of heaven. Secondly, not only does tithing open the windows of heaven and open God's blessings, tithing also keeps the wolf from the door. God says, the other thing I'm going to do, not only open the windows of heaven, he says, I'm going to rebuke the devourer. The thing that keeps devouring your wages when there's just never enough, God says, I'll take care of that too. And so in this setting here is a farming setting. He says, I'm going to take care of the diseases and the funguses and the stuff that's eating up your crops. God says, I'll rebuke the devourer. Haggai has an interesting picture. Haggai chapter 1 and 2, talking about God saying, I want you to bring the money for the building of the temple. And with that whole building of the temple thing, he says, up till now, you've been putting your wages in bags with holes in them. Kind of you like you have a wallet and you have money in it, your paycheck goes into it, and kind of you pull out your wallet the next time and it's like the money all fell out. There was no money left. And that's the picture we have in Haggai. And then God says, test me in this. And he says, bring the offerings for the temple. And as soon as you have brought those offerings, you're going to see from that day on, it's going to change. that all of a sudden you're no longer putting your money in bags with holes in them. It doesn't all just kind of leave and dissipate. And so with that, God says, I'm going to open the windows of heaven, but I'm also going to rebuke the devourer. So I would just ask, how many times, those of you that tithe regularly, and I know there are many of you that do, how many times hasn't God just worked something out for you? And maybe when we're not tithing, how many times does stuff just seem to go wrong? And I don't know what God all does in the background that we can't all see. But how often do we have unexpected bills and expenses and things like that? Or how many times have we been saved from those kinds of things because God rebukes the devourer? But tithing is the third thing that Malachi mentions. Tithing is the way God provides for his house, for his work and the worship of the house of God and all that thing. So Malachi gives us those reasons to tithe, and we're to bring those gifts on a regular basis, to bring them into the storehouse. So let me just make a couple comments on tithing. Here, this is where I don't have scriptural basis for this. This is me talking now. So you can filter this through that whole thing. But in my mind, when I think of tithing and bringing your whole tithe into the storehouse, here's how I would interpret it for myself. I would see the tithe, the one-tenth of whatever you earn, I would say the net, not the gross, but I'll talk about that in a minute here. But I would say the tithe that you earn should come to the place where you worship. That's how I would see it. So if you worship at Glen Cross Church, if this is your home church, this is where you come, that's where I would see the tithe come. And you can disagree if you want, but that's how I would see it. And with that, offerings and other things that are over and above the tithe would go to other ministries that you have a heart for and different things. That would be a general way that I would picture the whole picture of tithing. It takes care of the house that you worship in and the place that you worship, and together the ministry that happens from this place. So that's how I would see the tithe. The other thing is, people have asked, do you tithe on gross or net? You know what? If you're tithing on gross, praise God, I'm not going to talk you out of it. I'm not for 1 minute. I just would say this. It works so different. Like if you're a farmer, the net is very different than the gross because you've had to put out tons and tons of money for whatever to. So it's much more difficult business. That would be a whole more complicated thing. In my mind, your increase, whatever you have increased. So when I get my paycheck at the end of the month, that's what I've increased. Now that means, so CPP is deducted and EI is deducted and, you know, all those things. In my mind, what I get in my hand is my increase. Now that would mean if all of a sudden I collected EI, I need to tithe off the EI. If I collect CPP down the road, I need to tithe off the CPP. You can disagree with me on these. I'm okay with that. This is my own thinking on some of these things. And if you are giving more, please keep doing what you're doing. But this is how I would see this. Whatever the increase is that you receive, but also then you need to think about when you receive an income tax refund, that you are tithing off of that. That's also your increase. So whatever the increase is that God is giving you, it needs to be there. Now, there's a lot for businesses and farming, I'm not going to go there too big. I know there's all sorts of issues around, when you look at depreciation and how you figure that into your income and all of those kinds of things. All I would say is if you're figuring in depreciation, to work with your tithing, then I also would challenge you to think about your appreciation. So if your land prices are going up, a whole bunch of things are appreciating in value as well. How do you deal with that? If you're looking and saying, well, this is my depreciation, how about my appreciation? So just things to think about. I don't have all the solid answers for you on some of those things. It's much more complicated, I think, with business and farming and some of those things. But for somebody that gets a paycheck like myself at the end of the month, to bring a tithe to the God storehouse, I think is what God would require from us. So then the New Testament reference to tithing is in Matthew 23:23, Jesus speaking to the scribes and Pharisees, And so he says, they've been tithing mint and dill and cumin and neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But he says, these things you should have done without neglecting the others. So with that all, he doesn't say the tithing is wrong. He says they were doing that, it was okay, but there's a lot more bigger things that they need to also be looking at. So tithing, I think, teaches us the discipline of giving. Hopefully, for those of you that are tithing, it's just interesting how when you start tithing, that God provides in so many different ways. That God, I think, sometimes just uses that even as learning us, teaching us wisdom, that all of a sudden some things that you maybe thought you needed and really don't need anymore, there's a certain discipline, I think, that comes with that. I think we also learn to see and recognize God's provision, but it's very much about our worship to God. So with wrapping all of this up, I would just like to challenge us with our finances. We did the whole heart check thing, kind of looked through some of those things. And so I'm not sure. I think there's some people here probably that to tithe, take one-tenth of their income and give that to God would be a step of faith. And I would encourage you to take that step of faith. Maybe talk to somebody else and hear their story of how God has provided that. Might give you a little bit of more impetus towards doing that. For those of you that are tithing, I want to thank you for your gifts to God and to His work. For those of you that God has blessed greatly, to consider what He might have you to do with that. I think the tithing, in my mind, is ground floor, is the beginning of our giving, and out of that, God can bless, and hopefully that we can give more. So with that, I would just use Randy Elkhorn's scenario. I picked this from his book, The Treasure Principle. He says this: when people tell me that they can't afford to tithe, I ask them, if your income was reduced by 10%, would you die? They say no. And I say, then you've admitted that you can afford to tithe. It's just that you don't want to. And so with that, we need to take that step of faith and trust God and see how He's going to open the windows and how He will rebuke the devourer and protect that which belongs to us or is ours that we are called to steward and shepherd. So with that, let me just give you names of people that started with tithing and ended up giving huge, huge amounts. Now, these are names of wealthy people. R.G. Letourneau was the builder of heavy earth moving equipment. The Turnipole was named after Letourneau, and he started tithing, and as his business prospered, I think in the end he was giving over 90% of his wages to the kingdom of God. Henry Crowell, who's the founder of Quaker Oats Company, was a man who began tithing, and God opened up a huge business for him. William Colgate was the founder of Colgate Palmolive Company, who started tithing, and God blessed his business. God opened the doors of heaven. J.L. Kraft was a Christian, the head of Kraft Cheese, was a Christian who tithed, gave one-tenth of his income to the Lord, and God blessed the Kraft Cheese business. Wallace Johnson is the founder of Holiday Inn, was a tither. J.D. Rockefeller, real estate tycoon in New York, was a tither. God has blessed people. Now, I'm not here to say that the next Sunday you bring your tithe check in here and all of a sudden something great's going to happen. God has ways. Sometimes it's like seed. 2 Corinthians 9 talks about sowing seed. It takes seed a while to grow and to produce a harvest. But out of it all, God, I believe, wants to show Himself to us in this area, and we need to take that step of faith. So wherever you're at today, whether you're faithfully tithing and giving over and above the tithe, let that be your worship to God and whatever God is putting on your heart to do. But for those especially that maybe are struggling with this whole area, I would encourage you to take a step of faith and trust God with it and see what God's going to do. He says, test me in this and see if I will not open the windows of heaven for you. So let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we've taken 5 Sundays to talk about stewardship, about our finances, about our possessions, and God, today we've been talking about tithing, that one-tenth, that sacred portion, Lord, that when your people came to the worship of God, they were to actually make a confession and say, I have removed the sacred portion from my house. And Lord, as we consider the sacred portion and the bringing of that into your house for worship, Lord, in worship to you, that your house may be full, and God, that the ministry and the work of your kingdom in this area and in this church can be taken care of. We thank you, God, that you are a God who provides, that opens windows of heaven and rebukes devourers. And God, we just ask that for those that are faithfully giving, that you will bless them, and they will see, Lord, your hand of blessing on them. But God, for those that are maybe struggling with this morning, I pray, God, that they will look at the example of Abraham and Jacob and the people of God throughout history, Lord, that have said, yes, we will be obedient to this, and we will see what you will do with it. God, I just ask for your provision for your people. Lord, you said you would provide abundantly, you would enrich us for all generosity and liberality, and that out of that, oh God, it would bring thanksgiving to you. And God, that is our desire, that you would, out of our tithes and offerings coming to your house, Lord, they would bring thanksgiving and honor and glory to your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.